Podcast Help Desk number 62 for October 2nd, 2015.
The Podcast Help Desk is where we go deep into the technology of podcasting, help you with the problems you may run into, and when we have a chance, review new gadgets, services, and solutions for podcasters. The Podcast Help Desk is now part of the Modern Life Network. Check out more great shows over at modernlifepodcastnetwork.com. Podcast Help Desk is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Check out more family-friendly shows at techpodcasts.com. You can always find the full show notes for each episode at podcasthelpdesk.com. Now, on with the show.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whatever the case may be. This is Mike, and this is Podcast Help Desk. And let's see, nothing of note in the news this last week. But other than International Podcast Day, and I watched a lot of it on Blab, and it was very good, and it's been getting a lot of play in the media. In fact, Steve Lee, my boss over at the network and the founder of International Podcast Day, was mentioned in the New York Times. So that was pretty cool. I have a link to that article in the show notes. And also, I was on WKLT in Traverse City. That's a rock station that I work at once in a while, filling in for the new news guy over there, Rick Coates. And anyway, I got to open for Paul Stanley of Kiss. He was on like half hour after I was, but I was there as a guest. That was kind of cool. Got to talk about International Podcast Day. It was great. Those guys were talking about podcasting as I was driving to the radio station. So podcasting got probably a good 45 minutes of airtime here in Traverse City area, Northwest Michigan area. And it was very cool to be part of that. International Podcast Day was trending worldwide at number one on Twitter for a few hours. It was trending on Facebook for a while, number one worldwide. And it was a great success. Steve Lee was on for 36 hours. I don't know if he stayed up the whole time, because I certainly didn't. But it was pretty cool. Very cool. And he's supposed to be on Dave Jackson's School of Podcasting here this week. So go check that out. And let's see. I don't know if this is news, kind of an announcement thing. I'll be on the PowerPress podcast, the official Blueberry podcast, next week. If you want to check that out, our rebooted podcast, check out PowerPressPodcast.com. Or if you're using PowerPress, it's right there in the main screen of PowerPress. You can just click play right there. Right there in your dashboard. How's that for distribution? What was that noise? Heard a noise. Anyway, and I say that a lot, don't I? Rob Greenlee joined me for an interview, and I'm going to play that next. He's the director of content over at Spreaker.com, formerly of Microsoft and Podcast One. And various other things, as we'll talk about in the interview, but it was very cool to catch Rob. I caught him right after the recording of his show that he does with Todd, the new media show, with Todd Cochran. So without further ado, here's Rob Greenlee. And thanks, Rob, for stopping by. You've already been on an hour and a half so far this morning.
Yeah, it's a marathon podcasting run for me on Saturdays. Actually, I've been doing shows on Saturday mornings for many, many, many years now. I started doing it back in 1999. I would walk into a radio station in the Seattle market, and I did an hour-long show at 11 a.m. every Saturday morning. So this whole habit of mine of doing podcasting and doing radio at early morning on Saturday is my life routine now after 15 years of doing this stuff.
Great. Well, I'm glad you could carve out a little time for my show, as I was telling you off air here. I'm kind of going through the people that I talk about on my show and getting them on here so that my audience can meet them.
Yeah, it's great. Well, it's great to be here. I know you've been in the space a long time, and always enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, I enjoy talking with you. It's usually in Vegas. I don't think I've ever met you anywhere but Vegas. So.
Well, we both have a lot of friends that are in the podcasting space. That's our annual meetup, you know, of all the people that we've known all these years. And I've got a lot of people that I just know virtually, and it's nice sometimes to put a face and shake their hands and get a beer with them or something. And that's what's great about those events, right? The Podcast Expo or the New Media Expo or now Podcast Movement.
Yeah, whatever they call it every year.
Yeah, exactly.
or the two of them.
Yeah, it totally changes from year to year, yeah.
So you started in radio in 99. When did you get into podcasting?
Well, I started, it was really not a big deal to me. It was like 2004 was kind of when the whole Adam Curry and Dave Weiner thing was kicking off, and they were playing around with enclosures. You know, Dave Weiner is the guy that invented RSS, and he basically worked with the standards group to, you know, adopt, you know, the protocols or the tags or whatever to create these XML files. And so he had added this enclosure tag to the XML specifications. And so that enclosure tag had the ability to put in a link to any kind of file. It could be a document, it could be a PDF file, it could be an audio video file, whatever, back in the day. And so anyway, I kept hearing about this because I was involved in making my radio show that I was doing at the time called Web Talk Radio, you know, available as a download, say, off my website and things like that, and was working with other distribution platforms that were not using RSS at the time, but were doing more programmatic sharing between client and server kind of transfers of media files, like companies like Microsoft that had a product called Sync and Go that worked with Windows XP and like a Pocket PC device that would automatically synchronize media files. So there were a bunch of companies out there that were doing that prior to podcasting. So I was involved in working with those distribution platforms because at the time I was looking for every possible way that I could distribute an audio file, whether it's embedding it in an article that I had written or putting it into live streams or on public radio stations or using, you know, shoutcast type streams and things like that back in those days. So it really was just really involved in all aspects of this in the early days of podcasting. So when I started in 2004, it was like the summer, it was like September 2004. I just added the enclosure tag to my blog feed at the time, and I was podcasting, you know.
So you were doing audio before podcasting, so.
Oh, yeah, years before. And it really wasn't a big deal to me at the time. I mean, it was really interesting, all of the buzz that it was getting based on what Adam Curry was doing, the articles in Wired magazine with the bullet going through the broadcast radio, how podcasting was going to kill the radio, which obviously has not happened. But at the time, there was just a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, not unlike what we've seen over the last 6 months in the space with Serial and all of the excitement that's bubbled up around that series and that success in growing that. And then the more recent conversation that Mark Maron had with President Obama, and those are all good things for podcasting. And I think as I think back on the medium, most of my audience was coming from streaming, you know, Windows and real streams back then. Podcasting was just a blip on the radar at the time for me, and it grew and became something more significant over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I think the bar to get into podcasting has been lowered lately, and I think that's a good thing to a point.
Yeah.
The only problems, of course, we talk about this on my show all the time, is, you know, you do have to learn a little bit of something now to do it right, but anybody can do this. You can podcast from an iPhone or an Android or a Windows phone. I mean, they've got apps out there that, you know, of course it's not going to sound as good as somebody that's using a professional microphone or whatever, but it can be done.
Yeah, it can be. You know, the company I'm working for now, Spreaker, has iOS and Android apps that you can just launch the app and it'll actually capture the audio from the built-in microphone in your iPhone or on your iPad. You don't even have to have special equipment. Just take the existing equipment that you have and you can record a podcast. Now, if you want to bring in guests or you want to do something more elaborate, that's going to require different capabilities. So I think that you're right. I mean, there's the whole spectrum of being able to produce content now. It couldn't be easier, really, in a lot of ways. Spreaker is certainly a good example of that. You can do a live show just by pushing the record button, entering some metadata, a title, and things like that, and it will automatically push to your RSS feed. You don't even have to do any post-production.
Yeah, but the problem with that with me is I have to edit a little.
Yeah, well, and a lot of people want to, right? I mean, unless they're really disciplined about doing that live show, which I do every week. I do a live show for Spreaker called the Spreaker Live Show, and I'm very structured about it. I start right at a certain time. I have my intro music, and I just key it all in to produce it like a radio show, like a broadcaster. If I was sitting in a studio at a radio station, I would have to do the same thing. I would have to play the intro music, and then I would have to be talented enough to know when to come in to that intro music to start talking, and then have the exit music. And if I want to play any kind of sound bites or conversations with guests, I have to be able to pipe them in via Skype and know how to do that and manage everything, as well as be the talent too. So there is kind of this skill that you have to develop in order to do more advanced podcasting, and how to work a mic, how to be on a mic. How far away do you need to be from the mic? How should you speak into the mic? Should you have a pop filter? What kind of mic? You know, is it dynamic, condenser? Which mics sound good with your voice? I mean, you have a lot of these little decisions that you need to make if you really want to be a professional at this stuff.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. A lot of podcasters about podcasting, you know, they assume that everybody's wanting to go into this as a profession or, you know, as some way to make money or whatever. But there's a lot of hobby podcasters out there that are doing it just for the love of podcasting or for the love of the subject.
Yeah, or they just want to get together with their friends and just, you know, tell jokes and have fun and drink beers while they're recording the show and have a good time. And really, in reality, there's plenty of room for that. And, you know, you may not build a huge audience. You might get lucky. You know, I talked to a group of podcasters down in Australia yesterday that started out doing that. Friends getting together, talking about fun topics. And they wound up growing a show that's got 25, 30,000 listeners. You know, it can happen, right? And it's just a matter of being consistent and learning as you go along doing this, and you get better and better and better. And ultimately, it's the same thing I did with my own show. I didn't walk into a radio station and have a huge audience in the first month or the first year. It took multiple years to build a big audience.
Yeah, it definitely takes a while to build any kind of audience. And, you know, whether you're on radio or on the internet in whatever capacity.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I do a little bit of radio myself, and, you know, I be honest with you, I don't look at that as important as doing my podcast. Cause I know for a fact I have X number of downloads on average per episode. When I'm on the radio, you know, I can, you know, be on the, periodically, I'm on probably the number one rock station in the area, and they don't, I rarely do I hear anybody come up to me and say, hey, I heard you on the radio the other day, but I get emails all the time. You know, I listen to your podcast, blah, 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 you know, so, you know, it's maybe people that listen to the radio don't interact as much.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And I think it's a different demographic that's listening on the radio than listens on podcasts too. I think it's a different type of user. I think that people that typically listen to podcasts are much more kind of socially connected through the social networks. They probably use Facebook more. They maybe have a Twitter account. But the broadcast radio listeners, they probably are not as engaged in that stuff. They're probably, you know, not consuming this stuff. They probably have Android phones, maybe. They're not consuming. If you look at the numbers with, you know, people that have Android devices, they typically don't consume podcasts. And I can see, you know, it's a price-driven device, right? And really, podcasts are being consumed by smartphones. So really, if you think about who has smartphones, what they're doing, if you have an iPod or you know, that's kind of old school now, but if you have an iPhone, there's a better chance that you're going to be consuming podcasts, and you're probably have a different demographic, right? You're going to have a different interest areas, and you're probably going to be more intelligent about this medium as well if you're an iPhone user.
Yeah, that's true. And then, you know, now with cars too, you know, this Apple's got their car thing and Android's got their car thing.
Yep.
And when that gets popular, you know, then it's going to be just about as easy to consume a podcast or a stream.
Yeah.
You know, in the car.
And I think that the whole, the Amazon, the Echo device, I don't know if you've been following that.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, it's the whole voice activated kind of virtual assistant kind of thing that you can put in your home. That's becoming more and more podcast enabled too, where you can just walk into the room and say, I want to listen to podcast help desk with Mike Dell, and it'll pull it up and start playing it for you. So I think that's also what the future looks like for in-car stuff as well. So the whole concept of word of mouth sharing of, you know, people telling each other, well, you know, I listened to this and this show. They don't walk home and, you know, just tell their virtual assistant what they want to listen to, and the virtual assistant will find it and start playing it for you.
Yeah. I wonder if Siri does that. I'll have to ask her.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it probably does yet, but it's, I'm sure it's coming.
So you do Spreaker Live, and you do the Saturday morning, well, it used to be Saturday Morning Tech Show. Now it's called the New Media Show with Todd Cochran. Yep. Are there any other podcasts that you do regularly?
Not on a regular basis. I'm on a lot of other podcasts, you know, like coming on your show. I'm a guest on a lot of other shows. There was a time in the past when I would be on a lot of broadcast radio shows off and on. That stuff doesn't happen so much anymore, and it's kind of interesting to me, but it's, yeah, I mainly guest on a lot of podcasts. I think over the last week or so, I've been on maybe four or five different shows, just talking about podcasting and talking about Spreaker and what's going on there. And so, yeah, I'm all in on podcasts. I've been that way for a good 10 years now. It's my full-time profession. It's what I do 6-7 days a week, really. It's all encompassing in my life these days.
Yeah, that, like I said, I always, every time I see you, you're working for a different company. So hopefully you're with Spreaker for a while now. But we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But previously you worked for Microsoft.
I did. And also worked for a company called Podcast One too for a year.
Okay, yeah, that's Norm Pettitz from, what was that, Westwood One?
Westwood One, yeah, he was the founder of Westwood One. My office was right next to his for a year down in Beverly Hills, down in L.A. I'd fly back and forth from Seattle to L.A. every week.
That sounds like fun.
to work down there, yeah. It was definitely a different world down there. Beverly Hills and that whole thing is kind of a weird, weird world.
Yeah, I've been down there a couple of times, and yeah, it's okay place to visit. I don't think I'd want to live there.
Yeah. So I had my own place down there for 3 days a week, and then I had my own car and that kind of stuff.
So now you're working for Spreaker. So let's talk about that. I you know, as everybody knows that listens to my show, I work with Blueberry, and I promote a lot of their stuff, but I want my listeners to hear some of the other services out there. And just because you host on Blueberry doesn't mean you can't use Spreaker as well.
Yeah, I mean, actually, a lot of larger podcasters will actually use, and not necessarily just larger ones, but will use Spreaker as what's what I term as secondary distribution, where they will take their RSS feed that they have at Libsyn or Blueberry or whatever and just drop it into our platform, because we have a bunch of listening apps as well that are out there that have a lot of users as well. I think we have about 5 million active users to the overall platform. So you have, you know, Android and iOS and Windows Phone listening apps that are really nice. We're in the process right now of building a brand new Android app that will have playlists and favorites and those kind of things. So you'll be able to create and consume podcasts that are curated lists of shows that we're creating in this new kind of app experience that's going to be good for tablets as well as the Android phone type of devices as well. So that should be coming in a month or two, a couple months here.
Oh, neat. I believe this show's available on Spreaker through the Modern Life Network.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And you can use Spreaker, as far as I know, and I haven't really dove into it, so that's why I got you here about Spreaker.
Yeah.
I heard you can use Spreaker as a traditional podcast media host,
yeah,
or you
exactly
can use
it's got all that capability. Yeah, and what's really different about it is it allows you to do live too. So we have Android and iOS apps that enable and actually Windows and Mac capabilities as well to live stream a show. So you can produce a show live if you wanted to and have that go directly to your RSS feed. You don't have to do any post-production. It will automatically post. It's kind of like what the YouTube folks do with live video, where you do the live show, you know, like the Hangout or whatever, and it can go directly to be on auto replay. So any of the web players that you're currently using off of Spreaker that will be embedded in your website will automatically change mode to play your live stream or your live show, and then they'll automatically revert back to what they were making available before, and they will also automatically make that show available to be consumed on demand. So it has that kind of unique kind of capability that isn't necessarily common across the whole podcasting space right now. It was really appealing to me because I've done a lot of live radio and I've done a lot of live stuff, so I'm a big fan of that. You know, that's what Todd and I do with the New Media Show. It's a live video and audio show. And then my Spreaker Live show that I do every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific is all live as well. And I don't do any post-production on that show at all. It's what's done is what gets published, and I'm able to move on with my day and do something else. I mean, occasionally I'll capture it and then edit, do some quick little editing on it, especially if there was any kind of like dead air or something like that for whatever reason that can happen in a live show sometimes.
Oh, definitely.
yeah. And but that's kind of rare. I think it's happened maybe twice in the 23 episodes that I've done so far. So, and also we'll do live streaming from, you know, like the New Media Expo and Podcast Movement, which I would do. I think that the New Media Expo I did like, what was it like? 16 hours of live show stuff when I was down there for the 4 days.
Yeah, every time I walked by the booth, you were talking to somebody.
Yeah, exactly. And I actually brought in other hosts to host different hour blocks because I couldn't do it all. There's no way I could do 4 hours a day for 4 days. I mean, that was just too much even for me. So I would bring in other people to host. But I did do all of the hosting down at Podcast Movement. I did 2 hours a day down there for the 3 days. So I captured a lot of content, and doing a show live is different. I think you have to have a lot of confidence and experience to really pull it off. But it's the energy that you kind of present with a show like that, that's done live on a floor with, you know, you have a lot of background sound, a lot of people talking, and it just has a completely different kind of energy to it, which is fun and exciting. And you're living on the edge all the time, and you have to be really focused too, because there's so much distraction going on around you at all times. But you have to be able to focus on your guests too, if you're doing an interview, and really know that person very, very well. So I only try to bring on people that I have known for many years, that I know a lot about what they're doing. And because that puts me in a position where I can do a much better conversation with them. If it's a person that I don't know anything about, it's going to be me asking them a lot of basic and fundamental questions, and it may not be as interesting to the audience.
True. And you know, I've seen a lot of interviewers where they don't actually listen to the question or don't listen to the answer. They're worried about their next question.
Yeah. And it's easy to fall into that trap. And, you know, I've done that as well. I mean, it's, you know, and it's, you do need to listen because, I mean, a lot of that stuff needs to be organic. It needs to flow based on what the conversation is, because that's how people, that's, it's almost like storytelling, right? And in a lot of ways, that's what it is. And in podcasting, as we know now, after Serial, people love storytelling, you know?
Right. And that was, you know, Serial, I got into it a little bit. I mean, I listened to the whole thing and it was interesting, but I think they probably could have got that condensed down to about 2 hours. But, you know, what the heck? It was popular. It was interesting.
Yeah, and I think that there's a big boom coming in fictional drama storytelling that's coming. I keep hearing about more projects that are being worked on that will be more fictional-based, not like Serial, which was more reality-based. You know, there's a lot of stories that are down in Hollywood that never get, you know, that were made like for movies or TV shows that are pitched that are never produced. And I think that there's an opportunity. I know that there's a lot of, there's quite a few audio producer types down in LA that are working with scripts and things on there that are trying to convert them into audio dramas. There's been some history of success with audio dramas in the podcasting space, and I think we're going to see a bunch of those come out here over the next 6 to 12 months.
Well, that'll be interesting. Do you remember? You know, we'll talk about back in the day. Do you remember Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov?
I do not. Why don't you tell me?
He did a show. The first show he did was called Pacific Coast Hellway, where he would suppose.
Oh, you know what? I think I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah. He would record in his BMW as he drove to work down in Venice somewhere. Yeah,
or Trucker Tom. You remember Trucker Tom?
Oh, yeah. He's a good friend of mine. He's still at it. 2,000-something episodes.
But, wow.
Anyway, Mark worked for Podshow, which turned into Mevio. And he
then died.
Yeah, and it's gone now. But Mark did a show called Shadow Falls, which was a fictional Serial type, not Serial as in the podcast Serial, but a fictional weekly podcast with actors and the whole nine yards. And what that was he's a script writer. He's written for, you know, a lot of drama shows and all that down in Hollywood. And he had this one that was for a movie that, of course, he shopped around and never got it made. And so he turned it into a podcast. So, and he did that, you know, was that probably 8-9 years ago?
Mm-hmm. No, it's been done. You know, the other one that's out there that really kind of plowed the ground back in 2009 was the We're Alive podcast, which is basically a zombie drama.
I've heard of it. I've not listened.
Yeah. It was created by a fellow by the name of Casey Whalen, who he's actually working on a new project right now. It's more of a higher end project, that he's working with an actor called Steven Weber. And it's actually been produced already. I mean, it's a high end. I think it was like, it was costing like $50,000 to produce this. I think it was like 8 hours of, audio drama. So he had to pay, you know, SAG performance fees and those kind of things to actors to come in and do this. And he was trying to develop a strategy on how he would distribute that show. I think he was going to start off with, I mean, it was crowdfunded. So he had to first provide it to his, crowdfunders. And then from there he would probably like take it to like Audible or something like that and make it a paid audio drama for a while to recoup all of the other investment that he had in there. And then eventually he was thinking he would put it out as a podcast. He would break it up into like 20-minute episodes and put it out as a ad-supported podcast. So it'd be like this windowing that you see currently, you know, with movies and television, but it would be with audio dramas. And I could see that probably being part of the answer that, you know, these higher end productions will probably follow in the future.
Yeah, that'll be neat. And while you were talking there, I looked up Trucker Tom's podcast. He's up to 1920 episodes.
Wow. Wow.
He's still going. I talk to him on the phone periodically. We both end up driving a lot, of course. And
yeah.
And so sometimes we'll pass the time that way. He's an interesting character.
So is he still recording each of his episodes while he drives?
No, you know, he does. He does it now from while he's parked, and
okay.
He also has a fairly popular YouTube show called Trucking with Tom or something like that, and he does a daily 3-4 minute YouTube, and so he's still with it. He was one of the originals, and
I know,
and he hasn't changed one bit. I think he's still got the same computer.
That's not possible.
No, probably not.
No, you never know, though. You know, if you got a good computer back in the day, you know, you
could still. Yeah, I kind of look forward to all this, the fictional stuff. I think that would be interesting. You know, remember Scott Sigler, of course.
Yeah.
With all his books and stuff. I mean, he didn't do it with actors and all that, but it was still very interesting. And, you know, he hooked me on his books because of that.
Yeah. I don't know if Scott will get into this kind of this audio experience type of, with the Foley productions and things like that. I don't know if he's going to go there or not. I think he should, but I don't know. I mean, he's more of an author type, not a audio drama type.
Yeah. But like I said, that was kind of an example of that. And, you know, then a few of those other, remember Patio Books?
I do, with Evo Terra. Yeah.
Evo and T. Morris. And,
T. Morris, yeah.
I forget who else was in on that, but I had a book there for a while, but it didn't fit their genre.
Okay.
It was how to get your ham radio license.
Oh, it was a little too geeky for them, huh?
Yeah, very geeky.
Yeah.
So anyway, Rob, I think I don't want to take up too much of your day here. Where can people get a hold of you if they so choose?
Well, there's lots of places, unfortunately, because I have to keep up with them all. But there's at Twitter at Rob Greenlee, and that's with two E's in the end. And I have a website, robgreenlee.com. And I do, like you said earlier, I do two shows. I do a show called the Spreaker Live Show. It's at SpreakerLiveShow.com. You can get right to it, and that'll default over to the Spreaker page for the show. And you can see all 23 episodes that I've done in there, talking with some of the key leaders in the podcasting space. And then also do the new media show with Todd Cochran. We do that at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time at newmediashow.com as well. We talk about podcasting and what's going on in the medium. And so I'm all meta, and my whole life's around podcasting. So what can I say?
Yeah, you're not generally hard to get a hold of. One last thing. What I've been asking this to everybody. What is the one tip you would give to an aspiring podcaster?
One tip. I would say do get a good microphone for whatever you're doing. I mean, I think that's the number one thing that I think a lot of new people don't really understand. And I would recommend getting a dynamic microphone. The one that I'm recommending these days is a starter microphone, not your endpoint, but it could be is the ATR 2100 from the Audio Technica folks. Just get a good mic that's versatile. That one has the ability of a USB connection as well as an XLR, because at some point you might want to move up to a mixer, and that microphone will give you the ability to move up to a small Mackie mixer or something like that, which is the other one that I would recommend. I would think, think about your audio quality. I think nowadays, I think people expect good sounding audio. I think it's, there's a certain sector of the community that will say, think about your content first, not so much your audio quality. But I think it's really important that listeners be able to listen to your show and not go through a certain level of audio pain in the process. But content is important. Talk about your passions. Talk about what will keep you podcasting over a long period of time. One of the problems that I think a lot of podcasters have is they take on a topic that they don't really know a lot about, and they basically run out of things to talk about, and that's what causes them to pod fade. So I guess that's a couple of tips.
Yeah, that's fine. That's the reason I'm podcasting about podcasting, because this is my passion as well.
Yep.
And, you know, I did start this show specifically. I was talking to my wife one night, and I was doing like three shows, and it was like, oh, geez, I got to go down and record again, you know. And it got to that point, and I said, you know, wait a minute, I want to talk about something that I like doing,
mm-hmm.
and you know, and on all my other shows, I ended up spending 15 minutes talking about podcasting. So I said, well, why don't I just all put that together as a show, and forget these other things.
Yeah, well, so, it's.
And yes, I agree with you about the microphone. I have an ATR 2100 sitting on the desk here, not currently plugged in, but it's a very good mic. I know you're on a SM7B.
B? Yeah, I am. And that's a little bit more of an investment in your podcasting career. It's a $350 microphone.
Right, and I'm on a Heil PR40,
which seems to be the ubiquitous one. yeah. So, I mean, that's probably where you're going to wind up. Is using a microphone like what we're using, but you don't have to start there. You know, that ATR 2100 sounds pretty darn good. It'll get you an audience.
Yeah, I know people that are using 2100s now that sound every bit as good as we do.
Yeah,
you know, it's pretty
darn close. Yeah,
I got the PR40 because I was into ham radio. Of course, Bob Heil invented the microphones that he did originally for ham radio.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's how I knew the name Heil. So I was cool before it was cool.
Yeah, right, Mike, you're one of the cool kids, no question about it.
Sometimes. All right, man. Have a great weekend, and thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, well, thanks, Mike. It was great to join you on the show, and I wish you the most luck with your podcast about podcasting. I think it's great that you're doing it.
All right. See you later.
Thank you.
And that was a great conversation I had with Rob there. So thanks, Rob, for joining me here on Podcast Help Desk. And I got a blueberry tip of the week this week, and it's an actual tip, not just an announcement like I've been doing a lot lately. But even if you're not interested in using blueberry hosting or statistics, you really should get listed on Blueberry. Blueberry.com has a directory. It's easy, it's free, and it gives you another place on the net to be found and seen. And the thing about our directory, and I say our, but Blueberry's directory, is that, one, it's not going to cause you problems with SEO because we have no follow on everything. We want you to come up first at your .com. But Blueberry, you know, a lot of people come there to look for podcasts to listen to, and a lot of the other Blueberry customers want to see who else is on Blueberry. So it's a good place to get found, you know, just like any directory. And another thing that makes that directory different than other directories is we're the only ones that encourage people to subscribe to something other than our own platform. The Blueberry listing, it encourages your listeners to subscribe to your RSS feed, not ours. If you go to pretty much any other directory, you know, they've got their own player, or they got their own this or their own that, and that's how you subscribe. You go to iTunes, you click subscribe, you're subscribed in iTunes. You go to the podcast app in iOS and find something in that directory, you're going to subscribe on that app. You know, you go to Spreaker, if it's on there, they're going to want you to subscribe via Spreaker. And it makes sense, but Blueberry wanted to be a little different and wanted it to be an open platform, an open directory. And of course, we announced back in April that our directory is expanding. That's still a work in progress, but it is coming. So, you know, if you're not already on Blueberry in some way, shape, or form, go over and check it out. You can add your show for free. You sign up for an account. If you sign up for the free statistics, you can be included in a Blueberry advertising campaign if you'd like. So, you know, that's another motivation to be on the directory. And once that directory expands, it's going to be a lot more visible in places that you're not currently visible. I can't talk a whole lot about that, but it's, you know, it's well worth doing. You know, as some of my other cohorts in the podcasting industry say, be everywhere. And, they, you know, why not be at Blueberry? Even if you're using Libsyn as a host or Spreaker as a host or, you know, any other platform as a host, you know, SoundCloud. Oh, and I got some stuff about SoundCloud, but we'll save that for next week. So, anyway, just, you know, get in the Blueberry directory. It's blubrry.com. And while you're over there, consider becoming a hosting customer or a premium statistics customer, and you can get a month free by using my code HELPDESK at checkout. And I think that's really all I'm going to do today. I've got a few things up my sleeve, but I'm going to save that for the PowerPress podcast and next week's episode, which is going to be really cool because I have Todd Cochran coming on. Todd Cochran, of course, is the Hall of Fame podcaster, CEO of Raw Voice, my boss at Blueberry. And he's done, I don't know, coming up on 1,100 episodes and 11 years of podcasting. So he's got some interesting stuff to talk about. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, we'll catch you later.
Thanks for listening to the Podcast Help Desk. If you would like Mike to answer your question on the show, email podcasthelpdesk@gmail.com, or better yet, record a voice message at podcasthelpdesk.com. See you next time.